This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, so the other day I stopped by someplace I've been frequenting during my recovery, and there was an old lady that I see all the time, and this particular time she was extremely happy to see me. You know, she jumped up, she gave me a hug, and I sat down and went about, you know, my business, what I came there to do. And later she came back by just to explain to me why she was so happy to see me. She told me she kind of witnessed when I first got there, walking in with my head down, not talking to anybody, keeping my headphones on. And like now I walk in and I'm greeting people and I have friends and I'm having conversations. And she just was so excited to witness my growth. And I say all that not to like toot my own horn on my growth, but I am a grower, not a shower. But I say that because you never know who's watching you. And I talk about impact on the show a lot. You never know whose life you're impacting. You never know who's watching, who's listening. And with that said, hi, Rhapsody.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rhett. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
This one's for you. This is specifically for you.
No, it's not, Ricky. NWA.
Alright, and welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I decided to start with that one because I needed to find the whitest song I could think of from the whitest movie I've ever seen. I don't even remember the name of it. It was like Strange Genius, or it had like, I think Val Kilmer, some other people in it. I love the movie and I love that song, but it's like extremely white. So today I'm excited because I am fulfilling like the dream of this podcast. This podcast was always supposed to be about cultural exchange. And for my guests who don't know this, what is TWS originally stood for? What is that white shit? So we'd be like, you know, man, that's that white shit over there. Like, oh, it is, you know, so. You are the first white shit I've had on on the podcast, and I appreciate you. Also, my roommates, my friends, my brothers in arms. Before I introduce you and give you a chance to speak, let me set the ground rules, because I feel like once I let you speak, I might not get the floor back. So rules of the show are, it's my show. Don't forget that it's my show, and don't forget that I have a mute button, and I know how to use it. Anyway, I have with me two of my roommates, guys I consider friends, guys I watch sports with, people that are teaching me the ins and outs of baseball. I never asked y'all what you wanted to be referred to as on the show. Are you all right with using? I think I've already said Drew. What is that? Oh, we caught up. All right, so I have with me. I had to pause it and get real names or acceptable names. I have
aliases.
I have my buddy Ross, and I have a guy I know, AJ.
Wow.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
I felt buddy was a stretch, and we keep it real. We keep it honest on this podcast.
You know, for a Nationals fan, you're not a bad guy.
All right, that is maybe the first and only compliment you've ever given me, AJ. That's going to take some getting used to. AJ,
yeah.
All right, so let's get started. What do you guys think? Are you Tears of Fears fans? Is Everybody Rules the World like a white anthem? Is there any significance to that song in the white?
Who's community? Tears for Fears?
Okay, all right.
I have no particular opinion on it, so.
No particular opinion on it. Cool beans. All right, let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. You guys are Astros fans. I'm from D.C. so I'm claiming to be a Nats fan. What are we going to do in this house for the next week or so while these two teams duel it out in the World Series?
Well, we're going to try to be respectful. It's going to be fun, though. Definitely entertaining. I think AJ will fly off the handle a couple times. I'm probably tempted to do the same. Very passionate about my team. But they got the job done, and it should be a fun, entertaining series to watch.
I have to disagree. I'm not thinking it's going to be that entertaining to watch. I think the Astros are going to mop the floor with the Nationals.
Wow. All right. I mean, I don't know enough about basketball. I don't know enough about baseball to dispute that. I am a Nats fan right now by default because the Redskins suck so bad. Like, I have nothing else to watch, so.
They're a good story, right?
It's a good story, yeah. It's good for the city. I'm happy for the city.
I was reading an article last night about Bryce Harper and how he, you know, they managed to make the World Series, like, I think just a year after he left. And so he's obviously a little bit upset about that from the article I was reading, but it's just, you know, coincidental, I guess, that happened.
So. It feels good, especially with the Phillies not even making the playoffs this year. Like, it feels good.
I mean, I think it's a great story. They're a wild card team from baseball that made the World Series. That's awesome.
It'd be a great story if they hadn't been, like, division champs, like, the last 2 or 3 years and didn't get out the first round. Like, we don't feel like a wild card team. We feel like a better team that had a bad season and now...
I'll play the impartial, like, devil's advocate here, even from, you know, being from Houston. Just watching the Nationals and what they were able to accomplish against the Cardinals and the fact that they're coming off of rest, I think that'll play into their favor. I don't see us mopping the floor with them, AJ, you know, even being from Houston. But
fucking AJ. What the hell?
Yeah, AJ. What a fucking nickname. I'm going to start calling him that, though. I think that rest will help them. I want to give them a nod in the pitching rotation aspect, you know, simply because our guys are in a rhythm right now and they've been playing baseball. You know, I think the Nats are, what, a week off? I can't even remember the last Nationals game. I think it's been close to a week now. I think the rest will help and hinder at the same time, if that makes sense. So we'll see how it goes. I was just thinking about that driving home, though. I think it may go 6 or 7 games, honestly, which kind of scares me in that perspective because, you know, the Nationals are seeing the ball well. They have a bunch of good hitters, and that was evident against the Cardinals. So we'll see. Should be fun.
I like how Ross has, like, naturally settled into the voice of reason role on the podcast. Like, he's giving, like, factual, well-thought-out arguments. And I know AJ's about to say some ignorant shit, so go ahead and say what the fuck.
Well, you obviously know I'm not going to be the voice of reason, right?
I knew this. I knew this coming.
I mean, I feel like the Nationals are a great story, have a great team, but I don't feel like they match up. Their hitters match up well against our pitchers. We have a lot of really talented pitchers, relievers and starters, and I know we can go real deep. So I think it's going to be – I like the Nationals. If Astros hadn't made it, that would have been my team, but I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to go 5 games.
You're going 5 games? I don't even want to pick games or whatever. I know nothing about baseball. Like, I really dig – this is the first season I really – cared.
If nothing else, I think, you know, the World Series getting us all down here in the living room and, you know, a chance to watch and enjoy the games together, I think that'll be, you know, that'll be a good thing.
I got a quote-unquote free steak last night. Steak I paid for, but I paid for it weeks ago. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like I paid for it.
It's a good time for some togetherness. Watch the games together. Cowboys, Redskins.
All right, so let's kill the unity immediately. recently, I wanted to talk to you, especially AJ, talk to you about this because I know you have something to say. But Ross, I do welcome your voice of reason.
Sure.
So I don't have to be the only person shouting at AJ the whole time. All right. So I don't know if you know this actress, but I think she plays on a show called Jane the Virgin. So anyway, she recently got into some hot water because she was caught in a video that came out like 7 years ago. Is this the video? Yeah. No, the video is not. So recently in a video, see, I don't know what I'm talking about. So you can understand like how unprofessional this podcast is now. So hopefully everybody's relaxed because I'm just winging it.
Let's do this.
But in a recent video, she was caught singing the words to a rap song, which include the N-word. And it got her in a lot of trouble. And I don't think she's white. I think she's like, her name is Gina Rodriguez.
So. She's Latino, I think.
Okay, so you're familiar with the story?
Yeah, I know she is. I'm not familiar with the story, but.
I'm going to play the clip real quick.
voodoo. I could do what you do. Believe me. Niggas give me heebie-jeebies.
So, like, even when I watch the clip, like, I don't even see her go full throat into the... And I'm going to say the word because I can't. I don't see her go full throat into nigga. Like, she kind of... That's the way when I sing rap songs, I say the word bitch. Because I don't really like using the word bitch, but it's in the song. So I'll kind of be like, bitch. And then, you know, like, she did one of those. She was like, front niggas give me heebie. Like, she said it, but she didn't really say it. But she got in a lot of trouble for it. And I'm not really offended by it. What did offend me is a lot of the, I don't know, you call it alt-right or whatever. A lot of the people that came out, I guess, in support of her with this idea, again, that black people use the word, it's just accepted in our culture right now. We need to get over it. It's just a part of pop culture. It's not a thing anymore. And my question for you guys is, one, do you care? And two, why? Why is there such a hard-on for white folks to say the word nigga?
AJ, I'll let you take this one. Lead off.
I don't say the word because I feel like it's a respect issue.
Okay.
I was locked up in prison for the last 16 months. I got out, you know, as you well know, 60 days ago. So, and you got black guys, white guys, Hispanic guys using the word all the time, which I made me uncomfortable because I feel like that's a respect thing.
Okay.
And I got a lot of black friends and I don't think they would, I don't think they would care if I used it, but I just feel like it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm older. I feel like it's a respect thing not to use it. I feel like it's just, to me, it's not a word I should be saying, you know,
okay. All right.
Whether, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but the younger generation, guys in their 20s now and stuff, they say it all the time. White guys say it to black guys and in prison and everywhere else. I hear it all the time, which makes me uncomfortable sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I can kind of piggyback off of that. I think probably why she's catching a little bit of heat, and I don't know if anybody else caught this, but it definitely kind of stuck out to me, that little, like, chuckle at the end of the clip. I don't know if you were able to play it again or not, but she kind of there was, like, a little bit of a giggle or something at the end of that, which is probably why she's catching some heat.
Let's play it one more time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wi-Fi.
Voodoo. I could do what you do. Believe me. Niggas give me heebie-jeebies.
I guess that's like the instant admission that she knew she did something she wasn't supposed to do.
Right. And obviously I'm not hanging out with her. I don't know what the context of the situation was. You know, I don't know who all's in the room, if somebody was doing something funny off camera or, you know, off mic or whatever, but you know, I think that's probably why she's catching some heat. Kind of piggybacking off of what AJ said. It's weird. It's an uncomfortable word in general, I think. You know, the one that gets me is, you know, white people calling other white people that word. That kind of puzzles me. And then, you know, when a black person calls me that word, I'm like, I'm kind of puzzled by it. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
I would never do that to you.
Right. I guess it's maybe my misunderstanding of the term or the word and the context and just, I mean, it's kind of a double-ended sword, unfortunately. Because it almost seems like a term of endearment nowadays. Like, it's same as, like, bro or homie or, you know, brother. You know, any of those, you know, what's up, pal? Or what's, you know, I don't know. I say pal, but...
You know, I, as Ross is saying that, I remember a movie where really this word started to have a different meaning, it seemed like, from Training Day, where my nigga, you know, that's my boy, yeah. My nigga. And I feel uncomfortable saying that. I feel, even though we're here talking about this and in her defense, I feel like she was singing a song.
Yeah.
She was singing along a song and she's probably a very, it seems like conservative person. I don't know her obviously, but her show, Jane the Virgin, is based on conservative principles, it seems like, and I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but that's probably who she's catching the heat from. But you know, if she's just sitting there talking to somebody and there's no song pounding in the background, then I'd kind of feel maybe a little differently about it. But
right.
As it was, she's singing a song. She's probably getting judged unjustifiably.
And so, all right, speaking for the black delegate, well, I guess not, maybe not. This is just me. Yeah, like you said, because it's a song, it doesn't really bother me at all. Like, I think it's naive to think that all of these songs are out there and that other cultures aren't listening to them, singing along in their homes, and like they're omitting the word. Like, they're saying it 100 times a day, and you could say that's our fault. Like, we put the word out there, we put it in this pop culture music. Now, I like the fact, AJ, that you find it to be a respect issue, and that, you know, while it has maybe crept its way into pop culture, it's still not, you know, a free-for-all. Still not like, yeah, is everybody go have fun with it. I was thinking about it earlier today, and I think, like, we all have maybe nicknames that your family call you, you know, and they can be nicknames that can be used positively, negatively. We all have those words that, like, depending on the inflection of your voice, you know whether it's a term of endearment or, you know, or something bad about to happen, you know. And I think we all have those things, and your family can do it, you know, everybody can call you that, but somebody outside your family that doesn't have that relationship with you tries to use that term, it would feel uncomfortable. And I think this is sort of the same thing, you know. Like, you know, like I can talk bad about my sister all I want to. You talk bad about my sister, it's right. A problem.
Exactly.
You know? And then my other argument is, you know, for a while, you know, being a nigga or being, you know, that was that our existence was a problem for people, you know, and it still is to a certain extent. Like, there's still a lot of stuff that's happening that there's stuff you can do, AJ, that I can't do, or you can do comfortably that I can do, but I gotta feel a little like, no. I walk down the streets of Austin and like, every day is decision making. If I see a white woman on the other side of the street, I got to make a decision about, you know, how I change my mannerisms to make her more comfortable. Because if I don't make her comfortable, I could end up in a bad situation. There's nothing she's forcing me to do.
Really?
Yeah. White women scared the shit out of me. Like, if you want to create a horror movie starring me, it'd be white babies and white women, and I'd just be in a room alone with them and have to navigate my way out somehow.
Don't feel bad. I actually ran into an unfortunate white woman today at work, you know, while I was trying to patrol and, you know, secure, you know, the area. And she comes up to me and she just starts screaming and laying into me about bank hours. And I was, you know, I wanted to be like, ma'am, I have no control over what, you know, what hours of operation this business decides to, you know, be open or not. But yeah, it's a terrible thing that not only you, but, you know, black people in general have to go through. You can't put yourself, like, I can't put myself in your shoes. I will never be able to do that. So
the closest thing I can come to relating to something like that is it's still not the same, but I felt similar walking down through a bad neighborhood in Atlanta. And I'm comfortable around everybody. And I was with some friends. They're boys in the hood. But still, I felt uncomfortable a little bit. I was like, man, you know.
I got, yeah, yeah.
Riding around Bankhead Highway, I should call first, they said.
That's how I feel, like, in every neighborhood. Like,
really?
In every, yeah.
I never thought about it.
I mean, when I was back home in D.C., I was out in a certain part of Virginia that's mostly white, and my buddy and I, we were at a Cheesecake Factory, and we had, you know, some friends, dates and stuff there, and we left the Cheesecake Factory. We left our dates in there to go to the car to get something, and on the way back from the car, a car alarm went off, and it was the scariest moment for the both of us, because it's like, what do we do? If somebody looks out the window right now, and there's a car alarm going off, and it's the two of us, we're in trouble. If we run to get away from this car alarm, now we look guilty. We're
suspects
in trouble.
Number one and two.
Right. Like, we're in, there is no good way out of this. Like, we just have to hope and pray that nobody becomes uncomfortable in this moment and that we survive. Like, it was just a car alarm going off in the wrong neighborhood was like the most frightening moment in the world, you know, for the two of us. So I say that to say, like, to me, when I can exist with impunity, when I can just exist and not have to worry about my existence, you know, bothering somebody, then I think white folks can use whatever words they want to use. But for right now, you get to live without having to worry about certain shit. I get to say nigga 100 times a day. Like, it's a trade-off. Like, you know, you want to balance it out, we can make it work.
I kind of feel the same way you do about that. I mean, it's I don't feel like it makes it right just because they use it so much that it's become, it's kind of makes you deaden to the fact that maybe you shouldn't be using it. You know, it's just I still recognize it, at least for me, that it's a respect thing, and that I'm not, that's not something I'm comfortable doing, so I don't do it.
All right, so let's balance it out a little bit. Is there anything for you guys that is anywhere near equivalent? Like, is there any ground that black folks shouldn't cross, or is life just such a beautiful thing for you that you can say whatever you want to me?
I don't like the police to talk to me. Yeah. I don't care if they're black or white or purple, pink polka dots. I don't like to be questioned by law enforcement. And you were saying how an alarm in a dark street made you nervous.
Yeah.
Makes me fucking nervous too. I mean, obviously it's probably more to the nth degree if in that situation for you, but if a cop comes near me, I'm already thinking prosecutorial misconduct, prosecutorial overcharging. What are they going to do to me? And how am I going to get out of this? You're didn't already, do anything. It's,
you're already two episodes into making a murderer trying to figure
there
out.
There we go. There we go. Then a cop on that show is Andrew Colburn. So it's strange.
Oh shit, man. Yeah,
different okay. spelling, but.
Ross, you're damn near law enforcement.
No, very. Not, I may look like it. I have a little badge that's sewn onto my shirt. Nobody takes us seriously though. Security doesn't get enough credit. And I'm not just saying that because I do that on a daily basis. But you know, we try to. It's you gotta walk a fine line. We try to help law enforcement as much as we can, or anything like that. You know, but getting called mall cop or something like that when all of the, I mean, I get it, you know, it's fine. You know, if that makes your day better to call me mall cop as we pass by, you know, and if you get, you know, some little personal joy out of that, then that's fine. I mostly just ignore people that do that. You know, I kind of find them ignorant, but you know, or Paul Blart, that's another one that I get a lot, but, yeah, I mean, I've never really had a real problem with seeing color. I played, you know, football, you know, just about through almost until college. You know, you have, you know, guys, different color, different races, you know, different backgrounds, different everything, but you all come together. It's a brotherhood. So I've never really seen color as a problem. We're all human beings. We all get one shot at this kind of thing. So it's kind of like, don't use the word, just kind of peace and harmony, you know, kind of thing. That's what I try. Yeah, sing kumbaya. Try to. I mean, but if you get to know people, you know, I think that's what's important. And you know, maybe that would take some. You know, people wouldn't be so open to using the word. I don't know. I'd try to look at the positive in everything most days. But yeah, that's my two cents on it, at least.
All right, Ross. You just have to imagine, Ross, that like there are a lot of disrespectful police out there who just like use their authority the wrong way.
Oh, sure. So absolutely.
When people see someone that almost looks like a police officer but can't do shit, you're going to get all of that.
No, I was going to say the closest, I guess, you know, I can kind of relate to you and like, you know, when you see law enforcement or perhaps, but I mean, I get a little bit of anxiety right now, you know, every once in a while, ever since, you know, getting, you know, pulled over, you know, arrested back in 2016, you know, stuff like that, you know. And I'm driving around with paper plates right now, my 91 station wagon, and, you know, just stuff like that. I mean, if I see a cop get behind me and, you know, the paper plates are expired, I'm like, oh, great. You know, they're going to pull me over. And as soon as I see lights, my heart starts racing. And I think it's, some form of PTSD, unfortunately. But
your 91 station wagon has automatic seatbelts, man. That's fucking luxury. Don't put the car down.
Yes. It gets me from point A to point B, knock on wood, so. Holding up nicely.
All right. So speaking of the police, let's take an issue that I think that AJ, I almost fucked it up. AJ and I are on the same side of, that you're on a different side of, making a murderer. Right. Now I watched that show all the way through, and the first thing that came to mind was like, shit, it's not just us. They fuck over white people too. I guess it's just like poor folks can get fucked over by the police in general. You don't seem to think the police. You think that what's his name? Avery? Is it his name? Stephen Avery. You're under the impression that Stephen Avery is guilty, that he killed that woman?
No, I think it's... it doesn't look good that he's accused of something twice. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. You know, I haven't seen the show from start to... You know, from start to finish, so I'll kind of keep my opinion short and sweet.
Jump out the window with it, man. Go.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just... Like, we haven't... There's an expression, I think, of, you know... If it smells like shit, if it looks like shit, if it, you know, feels like shit, it's probably shit.
People need to stop touching shit.
Yeah, exactly. Stop playing with poo. Unless you're going to throw it at somebody. No, but I just think...
That's that white shit.
Yeah. I just think it does not look good that he was accused of a crime, the same crime, or, you know, accused of murder twice. You know, I think, you know, that people would have to go to extra lengths. And again, I haven't seen the show from start to finish, so that's where I kind of like, that's my two cents, but I guess I need to get into it.
AJ is chomping at the bit right now, man.
Well, number one, he wasn't accused of murder the first time, it was rape. And basically spent 18 years in prison. For a crime that he absolutely did not commit. And if you'd watch some of it, like I'd asked you to as one of my roommates,
yeah,
together, assess some togetherness, you would know that the guy was 100% innocent and that the Sheriff's Department, Manitowoc County, and not to mention the Wisconsin Police Department, they suppressed evidence in order to, they already decided he'd done it, and they doctored the evidence and doctored their opinion all along the way. And he didn't have the funds or the ability, whether he's white, black, pink, or purple. In this case, he's white. So he had no ability to get out of jail until someone took on the case of the Innocence Project, and DNA caught up to the point where they could absolutely prove that it was another person. And then when they did that, as they overturned it, they realized that they had gotten a tip 14 years earlier, after he'd been incarcerated for 4 years, that the DNA was a match to another Taylor guy. I don't remember the guy's name, but and that this detective in that department, basically, I think his name's Andy Colburn, different spelling, basically suppressed it, just put it in a file, and it was still there years later. So, and again, like I said, I certainly hope that he didn't guilty this time, but again, he's already been in prison. He'll have spent 30 years in prison. And it's not a stretch to think that as he's suing them for $36 million, and not just the county, but these cops, the judge, the prosecutor, everybody involved in that case has a lot to lose. They don't carry the kind of insurance that allows them to not be drained of every penny they own for suppressing that evidence, for misconduct in the case, and so on and so forth. So to me, if they got a dead body showing up, they don't really care who did it. If it's close to that area, I mean, there's just so many things going on in that case that just blow me away. That I don't think it's a stretch at all for them to put that on him at all. I mean, because after that, he settles for $400,000 instead of the $36 million that would have bankrupted half of Wisconsin, and he had to drop every case against the prosecutors, against the detectives. I mean, if I'm looking at paying $36 million, I'm probably thinking about framing him too. I mean, let's just keep it real. I mean, $36 million is a lot of money.
And it's basically them admitting that the system is broke.
And they admitted that when they paid him $500,000 or whatever it is they ended up agreeing to. But they did it, like I said, without admitting any misdoing or doing anything wrong. He had to drop every case against all the people involved. Because if you're a person that's worked their entire public life in, as a sheriff or as a judge, and all of a sudden you're sued in court for probably what every penny you have, cars, trucks, vans, future earnings, everything you got, any result that doesn't involve you filing bankruptcy is probably looking pretty good.
And then it just throws into question every other case you've ever worked on.
Absolutely.
And all sorts of people could throw up stuff.
It's not a secret, not just, I know you're familiar with this, I am too. The prosecutors and the counties, especially in where we are in Texas, they charge you with 15 different things and hope to hang you on one. That's what they do. Williamson County, Hayes County, shout out, thanks. But absolutely,
Out to Wilco. I spent some time there as well.
But they just try to hang you on. I mean, they figure that if they charge you with six, you'll be glad just to go to one, and that's what happens 90% of the time.
So just to remind you, Andrew, AJ,
just call me Andrew.
All right, Andrew, fuck it, we've done it already.
The wall has come down.
Yeah. While I am black, I have only been in Wilco for 36 hours for a probation violation for my DWI. They treated me very well, by the way. Sandwiches were delivered on time. I can't tell you how they tasted because I refused to eat one.
Wait, you got a sandwich?
Yeah, the kitchen was broken, so we only got sandwiches. I was there 36 hours. Like I actually got a bunk. And
oh, wow. Okay, so you went upstairs.
I went upstairs. Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was nice. Real close to going upstairs, and I thankfully bonded out. And man, I think I only got like a piece of bologna though. I didn't get the bread with the sandwich. I got a
sandwich and cookies and an apple.
The hell?
And you're living the dream.
I got a piece of bologna and cornbread.
I still got my cup. I keep my cup as a reminder of what could happen.
They let you take your cup?
I paid for it. I had to pay like $1.50 for the cup and the commissary. Toothpaste. Yeah. I think I got like a cup, toothpaste.
I got shortchanged. It sounds like I need to go back to Wilco.
Yeah, you got to get the full spa treatment at Wilco, man. Like you missed out.
It's terrible.
Oh, man. I'll never find a blanket as uncomfortable as that. That beautiful burlap piece of shit that they gave.
Pretty awful.
All right, so just to have some fun, let's switch it up. I play a game here called Guess the Ethnicity, where I pretty much describe a crime to you, and then you get the opportunity to guess the ethnicity of the perpetrator.
Okay.
You can go as deep as you want to. I put the burden of proof on just... there's Mark fucking shit up. Anyway, I put the burden on white, non-white is really as far as you have to go. But if you want to say they're like Ecuadorian or some shit, like if you want to jump out the window, that's cool with you. But are you guys okay with playing that game?
Let's get it on. Is that too offensive?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, here we go. You are now tuned in to the world's most poppinest game show. Welcome to Guess the Ethnicity. I'm your host, J-Dot Flan. With me today are contestants Ross and AJ. Are you ready to guess the ethnicity?
Yes.
All right,
as ready as I'll ever be.
Should have had this pulled up already, but fuck it. Man, this is taking me a long time. Let's see, which one am I going to choose here? All right, so I'll start. I'm just going to give you the headline, and I'll let you take your first guess from the headline, and then we'll go forward. All right, so the headline on this one is Chicken and Biscuits bank robber gets 2 to 4 years
Black.
In Pittsburgh.
I don't.
All right, AJ has chimed in.
I'm going to go white on this one.
You're going to go white on this one? All right. Let's see. So I'll give you the perpetrator was arrested 14 minutes after he entered the bank on Fifth Avenue. He handed the teller a note demanding money, and then witnesses say they saw a man matching the description run toward a restaurant. The police, knowing that the business had surveillance cameras, decided to go into the restaurant to check the cameras when they noticed a suspicious man sitting in a booth eating chicken and waffles and drinking a cup of coffee.
Shocking.
Are you staying with your...
I'm going to stay with...
You're going to stay with black? Yes.
I'm going to stay with white as well.
All right. Now, I will let you know that this took place in Pittsburgh. Does that change anything for any of...
No.
Either one of you guys?
Negative.
All right. And let's see. So the reason he went into the restaurant originally was to discard his hat and coat to try to get away from any suspicion. The surveillance cameras actually show him run past the restaurant, stop, pause, and then turn back and go in. All right. So he had to think about this before he went into the restaurant. So again, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bank robber ran out of the bank into a restaurant. Ordered coffee and chicken and waffles as he took off his coat and hat.
So we know that he paid for the chicken and waffles and coffee. Do we know that information?
He did not. The check did not get paid. He was apprehended before he had a chance to
definitely black.
To pay the
that
check.
Sucks.
So what let's get your reasoning for why this person is black, AJ. Let's
well, you've almost convinced me he's white because, number one, Pennsylvania. A lot of white people in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then, basically, apparently he was not in there to eat necessarily. He was trying to make a getaway, but I'm still my feeling is chicken and waffles. He's probably hungry.
Yeah, all right, chicken and waffles, and black people are the only people to eat that anyway.
I love chicken and waffles.
I was gonna say I'm gonna piggyback again off of Andrew here. You know, Pittsburgh, I believe you said Pittsburgh, correct? If I'm not
Pittsburgh
mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I have family in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area. So
are they white?
They are, okay. Actually. I think last time I checked.
I was waiting for Ross to be like, yeah, I got some black family back in Pittsburgh.
I do. I have black family down the line.
Shit.
So, yeah.
What's up, cuz?
Yeah, what's up?
Mud.
I told you. So, no, but no. So just going, like I said, I'm going to stay with white. I think I've dealt with similar situations, not as bad, but I'm going to stick with white.
All right. So, AJ, you're sticking with black?
Yep.
Ross, you're sticking with white?
I'm going white.
All right.
I'm going white meat.
So I'll have to say congratulations, Ross.
Woo-hoo!
Yes.
Thank you.
Shane Lindsay, 32, of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. White, bald man. Ran into a bank, handed the teller a note asking for the money, and then ran out, tried to ditch his hat and coat in a restaurant, ordered chicken and waffles when the police came in and found him. He said the reason he robbed the bank was he was having a hard time, lost his job, shit wasn't going well for him. I think he had just recently gotten out of jail. He was living at a halfway house not far from the restaurant.
Yikes.
I think a way to play this game would be just give us the name and we'll tell you black or white.
Nah. Those are too easy.
Those are? Okay.
All right, let's see. Let's try another one here. Let's try another one. Oh, man, what's a good one?
Black. Oh, sorry.
All right, here's a good one. I'll give you the headline. Man arrested after trying to trade weed for a sheriff's SUV.
Black.
Is this because black people are the only people that commit crimes, AJ? Or what, why are we going straight to black? Before I even go to Ross, why are we going straight to black?
This doesn't seem like something a white person would do.
Okay, I haven't told you.
Okay, that, you didn't tell me where.
I didn't tell you where. Right. So based on the headline alone, Ross, where would you go with this
one? I'm actually going to go Hispanic on this one.
He's getting very particular. He's going Hispanic. All right. Now, I'll give you the location, see if that changes anything. This is a weed case. Tried to trade weed for the sheriff's SUV. This is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Does that change anything for you?
I don't know. Colorado Springs?
Colorado Springs. Air Force Academy.
Weed's legal.
Some weed.
Some weed. Some kind of legal.
Yeah. Some weed.
I'm going to stay with black.
He's going to stay with black. Ross, does Colorado Springs and the Air Force Academy change anything for you?
I'm going to stick with Hispanic.
He's going to stick with Hispanic. I think that shot's fired toward Hispanics. All right, anyway.
Shout out to my Hispanic brothers out there.
Shots fired. All right, so the after advertising the SUV for sale on Craigslist, County Sheriff Jason Mike Sell said he was surprised to get a text from a man offering to pay for it in marijuana. He showed the text to other detectives, and the next morning, they soon turned the blunder into a bus, setting up a meeting in Woodland Park to trade the SUV for pot. 4 pounds of illegal marijuana was in the duo's car when they arrived. So the guy arrived with a woman in his car and 4 pounds of black market marijuana in Colorado Springs, Colorado. So they were going to buy They were going to buy the SUV for 4 pounds of marijuana.
I'm more curious about how many miles are on the SUV before I'm trading. Like,
you want to see the listing?
Yeah, like I want to see the Carfax before I'm exchanging. You know, black market.
We're going 4 pounds. 4 pounds. I don't know any much about the price of weed.
16 ounces in a pound.
You're still talking like
so that's 32. 64 ounces of weed.
How much? What's the monetary value of a typical? Like, we're not talking about, like...
Depending on what kind of weed.
Granted, I'm not going to throw Kush. Anybody... Granted, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I think back when I was...
We're all criminals
here, man. Yeah. Back,
except for me.
Shout out to my dealer. No. back when I was smoking, I think it was what? I think I got a pretty good deal. I think it was only, like, $20 for...
Not for an ounce.
I think, yeah. I had some really good friends. I had some good connections.
You got some really good friends.
$20, $25.
I think it's generally about $100 I make good friends. For decent weed.
Shout out to my
I'm not doing.
Granted, my drug of choice was not weed, but I'm fairly certain that decent weed is about $100 or more an ounce. So it's about $6,400 or $10,000 or something like that.
Something. All right. So with that, with this new evidence, are you sticking with black?
Yeah.
Even with the 4 pounds.
Yep.
And he showed up with a girl in the car.
I mean, probably a white girl.
I don't know who that's a diss toward. I'm not sure. Like, was that a shot at white people or black, or is that a shot at white
Shots
women or black
people?
Just a shot at stoners.
Shots fired in general. Ross, are you sticking with Hispanic?
I am going to stick with Hispanic.
More shots fired. All right. Let's see. The man and woman were eventually charged with possession with intent to sell. I'll give you their punishment. They were held on a $100,000 bond after being picked up. I couldn't find out whether they actually bonded out or what happened as a result of their trial.
I pissed off somebody out there. They're calling the house now. They're looking for me already.
This shows you how real this podcast is. We have telephones and shit.
They're going off. They're coming right, looking for me.
We'll pause for the asshole call now. We're supposed to be answering this, though, but now they have like
evidence. Nobody else lives here? Come on. Somebody pick up the phone.
There's now like evidence of us sitting listening to the phone ring and nobody going to pick it up. All right. Okay, so with that punishment, the $100,000 bond, does that change?
Did they post bond?
I don't know.
Well, that's the only way it's going to change.
That's only going to change. Yeah. All right. $100,000 bond, the charges of possession with the intent to sell, does that change? You still think Hispanic? You think they would have charged a Hispanic person with something? They'd have found something more egregious to charge them with?
No, I mean,
4 pounds in the car.
Yeah, I'm, you know, once I kind of make a decision, I'm going to stick with it. So I'm going to stick with Hispanic.
All right. Sticking with Hispanic, and you're sticking with black. I don't have like a wah. I don't have that button. It's,
wow. Say that. Wow.
That's not the same.
I can just improv some noises for you.
Shane Langley.
39. Another Shane?
Another Shane. Shane Langley, 39, white man, Colorado Springs, Wisconsin.
That was my second guess, actually.
Yeah. He tried to buy the SUV for 4 pounds of black market marijuana.
I should have known. Both those people, both those states are populous with white people.
And it was
what
a white girl.
He should have done,
car,
like I said, no joke. He should have asked for the Carfax before he showed up for the bus. Because, you know, depending on...
Not a smart guy.
Yeah, well, depending on what kind of shape that SUV was in.
All right, we'll do one more, and I got another game, then we can get back to some serious shit.
All right.
Let's see. Headline on this one. Police track car theft suspect by footprints in the snow.
Wait, time out. How do you... Wait. Read that again, please, if you could.
Police track car theft suspect by footprints in the snow. So basically, this guy stole a car... Ended up having to abandon it, but they were able to find him by following the footprints in the snow from the car to where...
Jesus. We got some smart people out there.
Smart people. So I'm wondering, so now that we know that this criminal is insanely dumb, where are you going to go with this one, AJ? He wants to say black. So.
You haven't said state yet.
You need the state first? I got to give you the state.
Location.
You want the location first, Ross? Or
no, you? I was going to throw a curveball and say it was Bigfoot. You know,
he's going with Bigfoot. We don't race undetermined.
Race undetermined.
Ethnicity. I guess he's
how the hell? I mean,
original man.
Yeah, I'll wait for more clues before I jump to any conclusions. Right.
So. Location: Hackensack, New Jersey.
Doesn't help.
Is that where Bigfoot's spending his time these days?
Man.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for more clues.
All right. So I'll say this is a homeless man. A homeless man allegedly hopped into a Hackensack man's car.
Black.
Sped away.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I got to be right at some point.
At some point. Sped away and later crashed it before police tracked him down using his footprints in the snow. At about 7:40 a.m., this is the name of the guy who owned the car. Luis Campoverde reported that he had left his car running in the middle of the street with the keys in the ignition when it was stolen. All right, so
shame on you, Luis.
We have a homeless man who jumped into a running vehicle and stole it, crashed it.
I bet you Luis doesn't leave his car running again.
I'm not sure if it's stealing if you left the keys in it. I'm just borrowing it.
Yeah.
Inviting somebody to come.
I mean, in celebration of Columbus Day, which just passed, then he just discovered a car.
He discovered a car.
All right, so with that information, you're still black and you're Bigfoot?
I'm going Bigfoot.
You're staying with Bigfoot.
I'm taking a Hail Mary into the end zone. Bigfoot. All right.
Shortly after the car was stolen, it was crashed, and the suspect took off on foot. Officer set a perimeter and tracked him using his footprints in the snow. He was found in a nearby storage bin, laying on his back, staring up at the sky. He resisted arrest before ultimately being taken into custody and was released on a summons. With all that information, can you guess the ethnicity of the footprint?
He resisted arrest. Obviously, it's black.
Jesus. Again, shots fired. I mean, I'm not even black, and that hurts me a little bit. Goddamn.
I mean, if he's white again, this is a trend developing.
Yeah.
I didn't handpick these. Like, I was literally just...
You just literally pull them up on your phone, one after another?
Yeah. I go research...
Two guys named Shane.
Surprisingly enough, like, I was... You know, I think it was either on Netflix or something. I was reading another article. I think there's more Caucasian people in the justice system, like in the correctional justice system, than any other race. But that's a side topic. Side topic. I got sidetracked there. I apologize.
So we got black and Bigfoot, unless Ross is changing his answer.
I'll go white. I'll say we make it a... Perfect 3 for 3.
You're going to perfect 3 for 3?
Yeah.
All right. So I have to say one of you got this one right.
Was it Bigfoot?
That's for AJ. Finally, we finally got one.
Yes.
It was finally okay to bet on black. Malik Evans.
If you had given me the name, I would have known right up front.
That's why I can't give you the name. I can't say Malik and then ask you what ethnicity is. Malik Evans, 23, of Hackensack, New Jersey. Homeless at the time, jumped into the car, stole it, crashed it, and then I guess walked to some storage bins and went to sleep. I don't know. They said they found him laying on his back, staring up at the sky.
It was a wild ride.
Wild ride. So obviously he was on something. Hey, I'm looking at you, AJ. What drug would make you lay out in the snow, face up in front
crash
of the sky?
Crash the car? I'm thinking crash he had some LSD or some acid or whatever, something to make him think he was not laying around in the snow waiting for the cops to show up.
There you go. So people, you heard it here first. Don't fuck with LSD or you'll be laying in the snow waiting for cops to show up, thinking they're your friends. All right. Thank you guys for playing Guess the Ethnicity, the most poppin'est new game show. I got more games. We can get into some serious stuff. I'm gonna sprinkle these games out throughout the rest of the stuff. Because I know AJ has had a hard-on to talk about child support. So do you wanna breach this topic? Like, what grinds your gears about child support, man?
Oh my God. I mean, it's a stacked system that penalizes you if you have a penis. Basically, you can pretty much guarantee that you have almost no shot of getting custody, maintaining custody. I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, I had primary custody of my daughter. And before I went to court for sentencing, I had basically put in this agreement. She lived with me, her mom had visitation, no problem. We co-parented fairly well together. Before I had some troubles with the justice system and I thought I might go to prison. So what I did was I went to court with her and got in front of the judge and said, basically, I lifted the geographical restraining order, which even though we had joint custody, and I had primary, I guess it, hindsight being 2020, it kept her from doing something stupid, which is what she ended up doing. But so what happens is I lift the geographical restraining order. I go to pick up my daughter at school for my week. We were week on, week off at that point. We lived in the same school district. I go to pick up my daughter, and my daughter has been pulled out of school. Mom's phone's disconnected. No address, forward address. School left no forward information. Everything was done. And I immediately go to law enforcement and try to pursue it that way. They can't help me. If, just to flip the script for a second on that, if I would have done the same thing, pulled my daughter out of school, not left no forwarding address, told no one where I was going, they would have put a kidnapping charge on me. The FBI would be out looking for me. And any father, not just me, any father. Yeah. In a half of a heartbeat, honestly. And to this day, if you're a male and you go 3 months without paying child support, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to end up in jail, or they're going to try to put you in jail. On the Texas Attorney General's website right now, if you have a problem with visitation, she won't show up for her court order visitation. She won't let you see your daughter, your son. They can't help you. They won't help you. Now, if you want to pay them money, they're good with that. But if she won't honor her part of the responsibility, then you can forget it. And if you need to get your child support lowered, then you're going to have to hire multiple lawyers probably. And she can ignore a court. I've been through all this with my wife, with our daughter. And it is a never-ending saga of the odds are stacked against you if you're a father. There's just parental alienation is rampant throughout that system. When I talk to other guys, I remember a lot of groups that talk about it, and it's difficult, you know. It's something that you see on a daily basis, and there's guys out there that, you know, I'm a member of a lot of the groups, and you know, guys commit suicide because they've just given up. You know, it takes something out of you,
yeah,
to be denied visitation with your daughter or son or You know, and I guess a lot of people think that there's a lot of deadbeat fathers out there, and there are. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I'm not begrudging the good moms out there that do a great job, that are fair and co-parent together. That's shout out to all them. And I'm not begrudging child support. I have no problem. I had my first wife, I paid child support. I had no problem paying it. It was a lick every month. And but she's a great mom and did a great job with our sons. And we co-parented well together. It's just that it just seems something profoundly unfair that whether you pay or not, you could be penalized. But if your other spouse won't honor the commitment to on visitation, that nothing happens to them, and yeah, nothing happens. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely fucked up. I mean I have not seen this side of you before, AJ. Like you actually seem like a human being. Like I feel for you. I feel some sort of sympathy for you. It's a weird feeling. I'm confused.
Well, I try.
But yeah, I worked for child support enforcement in PG County, Maryland for about 2 years. And one of the things I'll say is that in Maryland, it went both ways. Like, so when I was telling you earlier, like there are as many deadbeat mothers as there are deadbeat fathers. I know in PG County, Maryland, if you're on public assistance or if you give your child up to the state, if your child becomes ward of the state for any reason, the state opens a child support case against you. So you're paying child support to the state. And so in that sense, there are a lot of cases in PG County against mothers, because mothers are the only parent they're aware of, and mothers may have been the one that gave them up to the state, or
gotcha,
or you know, the child got arrested, got in trouble, and now is a ward of the state because they're in juvie or something like that, and you know, the state will pursue you for that money. And then so I've seen women that work and get paid under the table because they can't use the Social Security number anywhere because they don't want to get the checks gone. I've seen women do the same things that, you know, they say men do to try to avoid paying.
I don't know that they do that here with women as far as I'm sure that, I don't know if the state garnishes their wages if they give them up. I think they give them up here in Texas. I'm not sure how that, but I mean here in Texas, I mean in most places nationwide, basically how it works is a father's at a disability right off the bat because there's a little known theory that lawyers employ every single time. It's called the silver bullet theory, and what that means is basically to anybody that's dealt with this system means that your spouse or your wife goes to a lawyer to seek advice on divorce or child custody or whatever the case may be, the very first question they ask them is, could he be violent? And as their lawyer is shaking their head, the answer is yes, if you want custody and you want this to be hands-down custody. She says yes. 15 minutes later, they're filling out the paperwork for a restraining order. When a father gets a restraining order served at the same time he gets divorce paperwork or custody paperwork, and it's a restraining order, you can't see your kids. By the time you get to court, it's been 4 months. It's been 5 months since you've even talked to your daughter or son or had any communication with them, because they've leveled this false and played out this false narrative about how you're abusive, even though you've never laid a hand on it, never made a threat. But the lawyers know that's how they win these cases. That's how they get. That's how women maintain 90% custody percentages. I mean, it's nobody talks about it, but prosecutors know it exists. Lawyers, they use it every single time. It's there's many, many articles online about the silver bullet custody theory, and it's just a known thing that happens. It's unfortunate because there's a lot of good moms out there, and there's a lot of guys that use visitation to have a chance to be abusive to their former spouse again. So it just gets lost in the system. All these fake and false allegations, they flood the actual allegations. So, but I mean, what are the judges going to do? I see the other part of it. They're being told this person's abusive. They have to take measures to make sure that, yeah, I mean, I get that. There's abusive men out there. They're terrible, awful human beings, and they take advantage of the system. But more often than not, you see lately that, I mean, when 95% of the applications that go in for divorce from a female are leveling abuse concerns, and 95% of those get a restraining order issued immediately, it washes out the actual 30% that it really is. So it's unfortunate.
All right, so this is where I'm going to take, I don't know, sort of a stance that may bother you a bit. But I've had this belief before I ended up in this position. You know, right now I have a visitation order, you know, on file with the clerk's office. I just went through a divorce. My order did not include any child support currently. We're hoping that that's something that we can work on together. But I'm very aware of like how dangerous a situation that is in terms of, you know, keeping track of you know, monies that pass, you know, money that passes hands, so that if one day the decision gets changed that, yeah, I want to do child support, it doesn't look like I've never been paying. Like it's very easy to fall into that hole. But I would tell guys before this, before I ended up in this situation, is that I see a lot, like we teach our women, we teach our daughters to be careful about who they sleep with because they could end up in this situation, could end up this single mother, this you know, this woman with a child by herself. And to a certain extent, you know, we weren't teaching the same lesson to our boys. You know, boys going out and having conquests was not that big of a deal. We didn't see the same level of risk. And the message I tried to give before is like, dudes, and so Ross, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. I don't think you have any kids as it is right now.
Not to my knowledge, as of right now.
That's the fucked up thing about being a guy.
You
have to say shit like, not to my knowledge.
Yeah, not to my knowledge. You know,
yeah. Understand that women, help me with the word. Women. Yep. All right. There is no circumstance. I don't believe there's a circumstance you could end up in where you have kids that you aren't aware of. But this is a fear that men have to live with. But the moment you have sex with a woman and you maybe don't talk to her again, you don't know.
Yeah, the one date, the one and done.
The one and done.
And that you like, think is done.
And then you meet 5-year-old Johnny and he looks like you.
Or you pass it. That's the worst thing. Is my fear is I'll pass somebody on the street that looks like me and I'm like, oh, shit.
You're going to harass some kid at the skating rink or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But no, so what I would try to like impress upon younger guys coming up was like, you need to be just as careful with who you have sex with and who you sleep with, because you could end up in these fucked up situations.
Absolutely.
With women that have your children.
Sure.
And this, like you said, AJ, the system is geared more toward them having the power. There are extreme circumstances for a guy to be able to get any of that back. You have no say so, you know. You can get a girl pregnant and she could decide to abort your child and you have no saying that decision.
Well, it's just like the abuse claims. I mean, the only thing a female has to say in Texas to lock a guy up is he hit me. She doesn't need proof. If we have a girl over here at the house and we're all hanging out and doing whatever and she gets pissed off for some reason, she calls 911 and they show up, guess who's going to jail? One of us. Because she can say they didn't hit me, but the cops are going to say, well, somebody's going to jail. We're here, someone goes.
But I say all that to say, like, we've been putting this in women's heads for a while, like that they need to hold this burden of, you know, being the protectors of. That's how unprofessional this podcast is. That they need to be the protectors, you know, of the pussy somehow, like, because it's more on them. Like, something goes wrong, you're going to be the one to end up with the kid. Well, if something goes wrong, they may end up with the kid. Now you have no access to your own child, or or you have to go through these things to get access to your own child. You spend time in court I've seen guys that get jerked over, like you said, like you're making a certain amount when they make the order and then you're not making that money anymore, but the order was based on that money, and to get back into court to get it modified is a bitch and a half.
And even if you get it in court, at least here in Texas, that them getting her to court to agree, they want her to agree to it, that's a whole nother ballgame. She can ignore a court order and just not show up. It's kind of unbelievable.
And the whole time you're trying to get this done, you're still facing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're still facing enforcement actions on the old
amount. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I've seen guys that like lost their jobs as like pharmacists and had to go work for UPS delivering packages, but now they got their license suspended because they haven't paid their child support. Mm-hmm. But now I don't have a license. How the fuck do I deliver packages?
Yeah.
So you know.
It's a catcher's catch can.
Right.
You know, it's it's frustrating for everybody.
So this is my warning to dudes, like, be very, very careful.
Keep it in your pants.
Be very, very careful.
Celibacy.
I'm thankful about my situation. Yeah,
I hope it stays good, buddy.
Yeah. I'm thankful about my situation. My wife is great and I get access to my daughter. I hope to see her more. But I know how bad it could have been. And so, like, I'm looking right at you, Ross. Be careful.
I know. Hey, man. It's all good.
Be careful. All right. Lighten it up again. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to test your black knowledge. Are you guys ready for this
one? Let's get it on.
Here we all go. Right.
So this is from the game Black Card Revoked. It's normally played amongst black people, so you're getting an inside. You're getting some insider information here. So the goal is not to get your black card revoked.
Where does one pick up black card revoked?
At cardsforallpeople.com.
Shout out
to Cards for All People. All right. So let's see. All right. And this one may just be a Southern thing. It may be something that black people think is just theirs, but it's just a Southern thing. So the question is, according to Mama, what does it mean if your ear keeps itching?
People are talking about you.
Yeah, I didn't even get to the multiple choice. All right, AJ, you're a beast. You're a beast. We're going to keep going. All right, here's one. You're not going
to. Well, I've been under the impression that when your ears are burning, that you said itching, though, correct?
I said
itching. It's a Southern thing.
It's a Southern thing.
Well, is it the same thing as when your ears are burning?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Maybe they're burning because they're scratching.
Well, shit, if they're itching, I think somebody needs to just take a shower, perhaps. But I didn't know. You didn't even get to the multiple choice.
I didn't. So the options were, A, you need to wash.
See? I mean,
that was
my ears have itched before. I mean, you know.
It was B, someone is talking about you. C, you need to see a doctor. Or B, you're about to fall in. Or, sorry, D, you're about to fall in love. But the correct answer is someone's talking about you. This is not up for debate. Not up for debate, Ross.
You're going to have a hard time revoking mine.
It could have been A, B, and C.
All right, let's see if you can get that. I got a lot of these, AJ.
Let's get it on.
All right, here's another question for you. How many fights did the Fresh Prince get into before his mom got scared?
One.
God, dang, he is amazing. I'm not even giving him the multiple choices.
I had to think about that. I was playing the song in my head.
One little fight, and my mom got scared.
I'm gaining respect for it. Here's all right. If you get this one,
you can't. It's not fair for you to ask me a question you don't know the answer to.
He's pretty quick though. I've known the answers. I just am a little slow on the. If there was a button,
like I almost expect you to know him a little bit. AJ,
why would you expect that?
AJ is the one.
AJ's been around the block a few times. He's got experience.
I'm seasoned.
All right, so here's one that I think your age might be a detriment to. This is new school shit right here.
Okay.
Are you ready? What does the word thought stand for?
The word what?
Thought. THOT. Ross, do you know this one?
I am familiar with the term.
Okay.
I'm going to wait for my multiple choice.
I'm going to hang back.
Do you
want the multiple choice?
Yeah.
All right.
I need them on this one.
Thought. Is it the hose of tomorrow? Is it temporary hole on time? Is it that hole over there, or is it? It doesn't stand for anything. Thought.
I'm not sure on this one. I'm gonna go with number one. Who do you go with?
You're going with the hose of tomorrow.
No. What are the options again?
All right,
we got. Now I'm gonna go with the last one.
It doesn't stand for anything.
Nope.
All right, Ross.
Please repeat the multiple choice.
We got the A, the hose of tomorrow. B. Temporary.
Is that a foundation or like an organization?
If it isn't, we need to get on that. We need to start developing the hose of tomorrow.
I think we might be onto something.
I'm gonna get in so much trouble for this.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, temporary hole on time is B. That hole over there is C, and then D. It doesn't stand for anything.
I have only recently started hearing the word thought and people using it around me. Yeah. Personally, I'm gonna go with C.
That hole over there.
Yes.
You are correct, sir. He gets the calls. You know, get calls. Maybe one more because I think there's some NFL.
I appreciate you bringing that to my attention because I have some coworkers. I've heard that term before, and I was like, "What the hell does that even mean?" So I'm learned something new today.
All right. So we got Robert who sneaked in by the refrigerator. I think he may know the answer to this one. I don't think either of you guys do. All right. Answer this question: if someone puts their hand upon your hip, what is the appropriate response? God damn, that's my man.
I had that.
I knew that too.
I did too. We need another one.
All right. Last one. Should I go with else with something else itching or? I think Ross got this one. Ross has got this.
Oh, wait, because I itch or what?
No.
You've seen me itching around the house.
You did itch.
Throw me under the bus.
You did itch for a while though. It was weird.
Hell, I'm itching right now. I think something bit me at work.
It's Texas. All right, Jerome from Martin. You guys remember the character Jerome from Martin?
Vaguely.
We got AJ already. All right, but Jerome from Martin is a player from where?
Way back.
You want the multiple choice?
No.
You want the multiple choice?
I'll take the multiple choice.
All right. Is Jerome from Martin a player from A, Detroit, B, Harlem, C, Chicago, or D, the Himalayas?
C.
You going with Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Detroit on this
one. Going with Detroit? Robert, you wanna fix this one? The Himalayas. So Jerome is a player from the Himalayas.
In my defense, I didn't really watch Martin that much.
Because you're young. Man.
I thought Martin was pretty good, but I don't remember Jerome.
You're a kid. You're a kid. Ross is so
young. Like, when was Martin really popular?
90s.
90s, right? Yeah. Like, mid-90s, too? Because I feel like I would have caught on to Martin.
My life has just lasted too long. As it all just blends together.
Shout out to Martin Lawrence, though. Yeah. Still funny.
All right, so should we try to think of what we should do before we wind this up? I got some more questions we could go through, or we could talk NFL, we could talk Cap, we could talk Antonio Brown. I hear he's getting Kaepernick.
Who's he?
Oh, okay. This is the game we want to play. As long as we don't get into X's and O's on football, because I do have women that listen to the show, and they don't like you when I get into it.
They don't like to. Well, they're here to serve us. So.
Jesus.
I set him up.
Wow. Oh,
I set him
God.
Up. He knocks him down. It's beautiful.
You knew that was going to happen.
I knew that was going to happen.
I mean,
that was a fastball right down the middle.
In my opinion, though, you might have some female listeners that know X and O's, and if they do, we need to link up because there's nothing hotter than a woman that knows X.
That is very true. That is few and far between.
A woman, I would say it's few and far between, but for me, it's infuriating. I really don't.
If they really know it, I dig it.
Yeah, if a woman can talk football and she knows what the hell she's talking about, and like she. You know, she can pick out the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3 defense. Like, I'm probably going to try to lock that down. So,
but I feel like when they do know, they work too hard to make sure that you know that they know. Like, I don't. Every time I watch a football game, I don't want to dissect the game. Sometimes I just want to watch the football game.
Yeah,
I agree.
You
to not speak and let's watch the football game. And I'm not saying not speak. See, I'm getting in trouble. I'm not saying not speak because then women don't speak, but just. Nobody speak.
I'll also go on the other note that like women, they're inquisitive or like ask questions. Like I've been in a couple of relationships. No, it's not. I find it. I find it attractive. Yeah, I'm kind of.
It's right there with a chick that can shoot a gun.
I like that you pretend to be interested, but
I don't like. Let me enjoy. I don't like chicks that know how to shoot guns.
What?
Yeah, because then they turn on you and they blow you away, man. Like
I have three rules when it comes to women that I won't date. I will not date women that have men's names. So no Nikki. Or Alex or Stacy, I don't do.
Those are some hot names.
Fuck that. I don't do women whose hips are wider than their shoulders. I know this is like really like fucking up my chances as a single man these days, but
we're limiting yourself here.
No. I don't do women whose hips are wider than their shoulders, and I don't do women who I think could physically take me. Like I couldn't do.
Oh
like,
yeah, hell no.
Like yeah, I couldn't do like a boxer or a police officer. Like,
you don't like that?
I don't like that. Keep those cuffs.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty attractive Austin Police Department like female officers.
I dated like an ex-military chick, and she would always be like, just to show me she could be putting me into like these holds. And it wasn't like a strength thing; it was just like a body weight. And I'd just be in this fucking hold, like can't move. Like, fuck, are you trying to prove? I wasn't gonna hit you. Like, I'm not. You don't have to prove to me that you can take me if you wanted to. I'm not gonna.
I was just walking to the kitchen. Like,
right. It don't always have to be a competition. All right, I was having fun with these black questions, so we're going to do a couple more of these, and then we're going to call it there. We live together, so we can always do this again.
Absolutely.
What is it like living with me, AJ?
I don't see you that often, to be honest with you.
I feel like I see you all the time.
Really? I mean, we get to get into some good debates about football and Kaepernick, how worthless he is, and Antonio Brown, and how he needs to just shut up. I mean, we get that.
Antonio Brown does need to shut up. I hear he's getting a lot of interest. He may come back after the deadline.
From who?
They haven't mentioned the teams.
Okay.
I know the Cowboys are not one of them.
I read something different.
You read the Cowboys are interested?
I heard that the Cowboys may be interested.
He's too good to just know when to give him one more shot.
Well, and the thing is I hate to say it, but I think the guy might have been on some like drugs that are flying under the radar or something just due to his erratic behavior. Like, I want to give him benefit of the doubt.
Can you imagine him and Amari Cooper on the same team?
Him and anybody. I mean, there's so many receivers right now in the league that, you know, and he's number one. I hate to admit it, but Antonio Brown's probably still the best receiver in the league right now, and he's not even playing. That's, you know, that's how much of an impact that guy can make to any team right now. So
yeah, but I think you've heard it here first, people. This is a room full of people who would know if somebody was on some sort of drug, and we believe.
I suspect it, at least.
We believe Antonio Brown was on some.
It wouldn't be a surprise, would it?
Yeah. I mean, hell, it might even help his rep if he just came out and said, listen, I got a hold of some bad, you know, Molly or something. I was taking Molly, or this is, you know, I was eating shrooms.
What did Martin Lawrence say after he had that episode? He got a bunch of bad ex or something like that?
That would have had him in the middle of the
years
street.
Years ago, yeah, naked.
Naked, shooting a gun, sweating.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
Years ago.
Years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was recent. I was like, where have I been?
Maybe it was.
PCP.
PCP's a hell of a drug.
PCP, yeah, it'll do that to you. All right, so here we go. We got some more questions for you. Are you ready for these?
Let's get it on.
I think Ross has got this one.
You do?
All right. In what year did Cash Money Records take over? I got to cue up the song.
What's the multiple choice?
You want the multiple choice? Yeah. All right. A, 2001 to 2002. B is 1999 to 2000. C is 1997 to 1998. And D is 2004 to 2005.
I'm going to go 99 to 2000. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go 99 to 2000.
99 to 2000.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm probably wrong.
AJ, you got an opinion on this?
What was the years again?
We got 2000, 2002, 1999 to 2000, 1997 to 1998, and 2004 to 2005.
99
to 2000.
99 to 2000.
Man, you guys are good.
Hopefully this plays. See if we can actually get to be honest, that was a complete shot in the dark. So that's going back a ways for me. I am getting old.
I had it. I just got to play it, man. I got to play it. It's necessary. I want to play it on my phone. All right. I was going to play the song. But, yeah, Cash Money Records taking over for the 99, 2000. You know? Yeah, back that ass up.
Yeah, dude.
Can you play? Nah, we won't hear it.
Dude, take some time. I wouldn't mind throwing that.
You wouldn't mind getting yeah, back that ass up on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, throw that song on there. That what brings song back is so it? Many good memories.
Back that ass up, man. You lose it. You keep like gaining black points and then you throw them away. Like what is going on?
I'm trying to remember. Like,
I think you back that ass up.
I'm trying to remember when that was like a real prevalent like big hit.
I would say 99, 2000. Well, yeah. All right, I'm almost
from Juvenile. There. Who sung it?
Yeah, I think it would have been Juvenile.
Yeah, that's him.
Put it up to the mic. Hold on. Wait for it. Do you just have the instrumental?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he didn't do his intro.
He didn't do the intro.
That's how black I am. I know that there's an intro for that song.
All right. We'll just have to
take our word for it.
Take our word for it. Cash Money Records taking over for the 99.
And that's coming from me, a white guy.
From a white guy, from Ross. All right, here we go. Let's go back to itching. This may be a Southern thing. Maybe black people may have just thought we took it, but it could just be a Southern thing. What does it mean if your hand itches?
You're coming into money.
Man. Guys are good.
He's fast on that one, wasn't he?
Fast on that.
It's sad that my hand, I find my hand itching, and then I don't come into money, and it's a real disappointment. So.
Oh. I can imagine that. Like, fuck, yeah, my hand is fucking itching. Man.
No, play the lottery.
No, to, like, my mom's credit, she, you know, she taught me well. She taught me a lot of stuff over the years, and she continues to, like, you know, teach me these little things, these nuances, I guess, if you will, and, you know, I get to pass them on to, you know, the next person I meet, I guess.
All right, so last black question, and this one is, like, black history. So if you get this one right, man.
Really?
Like, my respect level is going to go through the roof for you. I'm just telling you. There's a lot of black people that know the answer to this question, and they should. Before he was a member of the Nation of Islam, Malcolm X was called what? It's multiple choice. I will give you the multiple choice if you want the multiple choice.
Yeah, multiple choice.
Yeah, I'll take the multiple choice.
All right. Malcolm X was called A, Young Slim, B, Little Red, C, Brother Harlem, or D, Detroit Red.
I'm sorry to tell you that it's B.
He's going with B. Little Red. Ross.
Can you give me C and D again?
C is Brother Harlem, and D is Detroit Red.
I mean, I'm going to go with Detroit Red. That sounds like a pretty cool.
Another fucking loss.
Which
Detroit
one?
Detroit Red. Ooh. Not Little Red, but Detroit Red.
I mean, think about it. I mean, you just got to go with, like, nicknames or, like, aliases. And shit, if I'm not going to be called Malcolm X, I'd rather be called, you know, Detroit Red. So.
What was your, like, what would your ideal nickname if you...
Shit, I had so many, like, growing up and going through, like, high school and college and Ross the Boss.
Ross the Boss.
Yeah, it was the easiest one. It's on my Letterman somewhere.
All right. So if I just come downstairs and be like, hey, what's up, the boss?
Yeah, man.
Boss in the building.
Boss, you know.
Boss and AJ.
Yeah.
That's a show.
I got another one more recently. It was Rosé, and I don't know if it's because I had a drinking problem, but, you know.
It's not a Rick Ross thing? Rick Ross.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got that a lot, too. Trust me. I've gotten everything under the sun. Ross from Friends, Ross the Store, Ross Perot. It's all, they're all fun and all welcome.
Ross the Boss.
Ricky Rosé.
Yeah. Everything. Bring it on.
AJ. Anything better than AJ? Fucking just whack.
Andrew.
That's it. Or Andrew and AJ. That's all.
You know, it's not that flattering, but a lot of people would call me Satan. Here's
Shit.
Why, though.
Okay. So you got to explain now.
I broke my neck when I was like 14. So I was in traction for 8 months.
Okay.
And so on the side of my head, can't see it right now, but obviously we're on radio. But there's still to this day no hair grows. Because, and my friends would tell my kids for years they broke the horns off. Nice. So they got some throw out of terrorizing my daughters and sons.
Gotcha. All right, I see. I've had a number of nicknames over the year. They've all sucked, though. No. Most people call, so you guys don't know this, most of my friends call me Flan. I grew up doing junior ROTC, so I was mostly known by my last name, Flanagan. And it became Flan again, which people thought was funny for some reason. Then it became Flan once more. And then it finally became Flan. So any derivative of Flan, I pretty much respond to. I think in middle school, I was Billy Matthew Witherspoon, BMW.
Nice.
I like that one. I look directly at AJ when I say everything. Like, this is clearly about impressing him. Ross, I appreciate you being here, but you know what it's about.
I'm just filling.
You're the voice of reason.
Right? I try.
You're the voice of reason.
I try.
All right, activity picking up in the house. I guess that's our cue. Anything you guys want to lead out with?
Go Stros.
Fuck the Stros.
Absolutely, go Stros.
The Nats in six. That was random. I just came up with it.
I think you may be onto something.
No, he's not.
I think he may be. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to be impartial here. I'm rooting for the Astros. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think we're going to just take. You know, I don't think we're just going to take it to him like Andrew's thinking. So, I may be wrong.
Nats, it's dope that we're recording this, so if it comes true, I get to act like I was really...
Remember, I said Astros in five.
Astros in five. What are you...
I'm going to go Astros in six.
Astros in six, Astros in five, Nats in six. You heard it here first. All right, so we'll go ahead and close out this episode. I appreciate everyone for listening. As always, be safe and be the light. And you guys don't know this, but before I end episodes... I rock out a little bit. I pick a song. I let it play. I can only do 30 seconds before the fucking copyright people like get on my ass. So
gotcha.
I only got 30 seconds. But since I did Tears for Fears to open the episode, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, I thought I would let you know how it should sound when black people sing it. So rock out. I hope to God this is the right button. This is not the right button. Right here. Okay.
Let's find out.
It's time to rock out.